Welcome, folks, to the Belfast Men's Health Group third podcast with John Cantwell from Shéan Croí Shamanism in Dublin. John, I hope I said that well. All right, I hope I said that correctly. And today, John will give us some advice and guidance for men coping with the COVID-19 pandemic. But also, who is John Cantwell? Because I know a wee bit about John, and I know that he's a husband, a keen cyclist, and I suppose he's also an academic. He's a therapist. He's a medicine man, if you will. John, I've said enough. I think our men want to hear you talk now. So, John, tell us a wee bit about yourself. Maybe a wee bit about your background or what your influences were growing up in Dublin. And I'm guessing you grew up in Dublin. And I guess, how would you describe yourself, probably?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the invitation, Paul. And a hearty greeting to all the men listening. Well, you know, Paul, when you asked that question, I really feel I've no choice but to only answer for how I'm discovering myself today. That you've remembered more of my biography than sometimes I can remember. And in a sense, I think it's, for me, exciting in life to really begin each day with a sense of discovery of yourself, you know, and to accept that, like every human being, I'm a work in progress. I'm a 56-year-old Dubliner, soon to be 57, if I make it to next month. And born of two Cork parents, Mother Agnes, Father Frank, and when you're born in Dublin but your parents are from Cork, you kind of you're a hybrid. You're owned by two very powerful tribes, and I had the blessing of a Dublin upbringing, but also the blessing of a Cork, and especially a rural Cork upbringing. And my father moved to Dublin from Cork because he was asked by his company to represent the company in the entire 32 counties. So an added blessing was being in the car with him as he was travelling the road to Belfast, to Derry, to Donegal, to Galway, to Limerick, not just down to Cork and not just around Dublin. So I was very blessed that I grew up with a real sense of this country. And I would say that I'm still on those roads, discovering this country in ever deepening ways, and that's the blessing of my life. The son of a great sportsman, my father Frank, he would have been a tremendous all rounder, a Munster senior title, playing rugby for Cork Con. He was a quietly paid professional soccer player for Cork Athletic, he, you know, would have hurled with the great Jack Lynch, at the same time, both of them were banned from the GAA for being caught coming out of a rugby dance. And, soccer, sport of all kinds, a huge part of my life. My father's youngest brother, Noel, unfortunately, I was always compared to him because I was the same kind of size and look. And Noel, of course, was outstanding soccer player, captain Manchester United right through the 60s, captained Ireland over 50 times, and went on then into professional management with Coventry City, and was a huge part of the new professional league in North America. So yeah, I mean, the dream, like most young men, being a soccer player, I wanted to play for a professional team in England. I got to a fairly good standard as a schoolboy, but you kind of know when you're 18, 19, if you're going to be picked up. And at that stage, I knew I wasn't. So I just dedicated myself to being the best I could and played a bit of League of Ireland. And threw myself into becoming a physical education teacher, and that brought me down to a wee college in Limerick in the 80s. And I graduated as a physical education teacher, but then I ran away with the circus because part of my college was really indulging in a huge part of my life, which was literature. and I studied English, and that allowed me to spend time reading novels, reading poetry, going off to theatres, and at the same time allowing myself to not just develop as the teacher or as the sportsman that I was, but also to develop that part of me that is artistic, that part of me that's questioning, that part of me that, I suppose is a little bit radical in terms of, looking for solutions that weren't easily available, because like everybody, I grew up with slings and arrows, like everybody. I grew up with different experiences of health. I grew up in a country that was in turmoil politically, and when you grow up and you realize the world isn't perfect, you go looking for solutions. You go looking for what makes you happy. You go looking for your contentment. And I was doing that like any young man. But I think that part of me that's artistic allowed me to search out people and places who were doing different things, that were saying different things, that were playing music of different kinds, that were not mainstream, that they were questioning the system. And that really was important for me, because it gave me permission to try and paddle my own canoe, to try and find my own meaning, my own purpose, my own answers. And I raise my hand today and say I'm still doing that, and it makes every day a school day, but it does make every day an interesting day. And I suppose in my early 20s, although I disappointed my parents by not becoming a physical education teacher, running away with the circus was the most important thing I did. And when I say run away with the circus, what I'm really saying is discovering that you can get by, you can do more than make a living when you really sign up for what grips your passion, what really makes you tick, where you really are alive. And so I worked across lots of different things like theatre and film, radio, television, but also working in the wilderness with children on what we call down here at the time social guarantee, and these are children who are in between school and being able to work. They were children essentially who were being looked after by a social welfare system, but they actually were too young to receive the dole, and they had abandoned school because school in many ways had abandoned them. And in the wilderness with younger people than me at that stage, I was in my early 20s, and here were these 14, 15 year olds, so full of life, but in a sense in a mist between the ordinary world and who they really were. And out in nature with them, building tree houses, making canoes out of a tree trunk, trying to stop them from getting themselves seriously hurt. And at the same time, discovering just how important the wilderness is for when you're floundering, for when you're discovering yourself, for when you're looking for answers. And that wilderness has never left my life, because, as you know, nature and the nature of all beings, myself, health of other people, the nature of plants and animals, the nature of the earth, the nature of life itself, that's really where I'm still paddling my canoe and being of service to many different kinds of individuals and communities and groups. And at the same time, just feeling like I'm leading a life where I'm able to participate in it all. And as I said at the beginning, a work in progress, Paul, but I still love my soccer. My knees now, unfortunately, are the knees of a 56-year-old man. So the bicycle saddle sees me being the leftovers of the athlete that I am. But I still have passion, great passion with sport and the arts. And what helps in the world, especially when the world doesn't seem to be working as we expected. The creativity that comes out of people, the adaptability, how people are really showing up in many different ways, even today in time of COVID. And so a very long-winded answer, my friend Paul, but as I say, I'm indulging in myself in allowing myself to discover myself by being asked your question.
Oh, that's absolutely perfect. So, I mean, moving on then, John, I guess that's where you, as you said, you're still finding yourself. And I know that you have a practice in Dublin. What happens in your practice? What do you offer?
Thank you. The name Sliain Croí, of course, is the Irish for the way of the heart. And the word shamanism, you remembered, which is the title of, I suppose, my trading identity. Shamanism really is a big word that really depends on the value and the meaning and the vibration of nature itself. So in a sense, my practice here in Dublin, I work with men and women, boys and girls, individually in a clinic setting, just like any other health professional. I work with groups and communities. I work directly with the land. After my conversation with you, I'm working with somebody who's asked me to look at the energies of a site and the land that they are considering for purchase for building a house. So my work is very varied, and I won't go into all of the differences because I would just be too long-winded and boring. But essentially what I do is look for ways of helping people to retrieve themselves. And for me this is quite important, because in Irish the word for healing is a word that's Elias, L-E-I-G-H-E-I-S. Now what that word also means in Irish is retrieval. So people, when they come to work with me, and when we go to most health professionals, we only do so because there's something wrong. There's a challenge in life. There's a health issue. There's a blockage. And it's the same for me. And people bring physical, emotional, psychological, sexual, spiritual challenges in their life and health. And what I do is help them to retrieve the solution, help them to retrieve the balance that they're crying out for, help them to achieve the breakthrough that whatever is causing the pain or suffering in their life, help them to go into that pain and suffering with resources, with me at their shoulder, but to break through into a retrieval of themselves, a consciousness, an aspect of health, an empowerment, a wisdom, something of themselves that was always there, but it couldn't be retrieved, Paul, unless there was the health challenge in the first place. So it's a non-medical way of working. I do have resources of what we would call energy medicine, and that's been a passion for over 30, 40 years now, in field work, working with Indigenous people around the world, learning from folk healers here in Ireland, and keeping alive what's in the bloodline in my family around that, and bringing resources of being able to help people shift and change energies so that they can, in a sense, retrieve a balance and a strength in their life, which they're crying out for. Otherwise, they wouldn't have chosen to invest a couple of hours sitting with me. So I do the same with groups and communities. For example, I work with a group of local men who are in opiate addiction recovery, early release from prison, working with them in terms of finding even more resources than they're finding already from within. And nature, yeah, I bring a lot of people to nature. You know, the great founder of modern medicine, Voltaire, used to always say, and I'll paraphrase him, the good physician amuses the patient while nature brings the cure. And I'm a firm not believer in that, because it's not about belief, it's just about experience and the importance of nature in our life and the importance of recovering our own nature. And often a lot of what we require from medication, which has got a great value in the world, but which is overused, there's no question about that, but that nature can be a tremendous source of recovery or retrieval. But sometimes we just need to go through a challenge, a hardship, and I don't look upon that as a crisis. And it's about reframing that with people, that whatever's hurting them, whatever the suffering is, actually has a value, and it doesn't have to be permanent, but that we can sometimes use it by going into it and often breaking through it, and it becomes then part of our history. But there can be a tremendous personal development, a personal recovery as a consequence. And there isn't a human being who doesn't have a wound of some kind active in their life. And sometimes it's important to pay attention to that. Sometimes we can just get by. And I'm in that situation myself, as every human being is. So I suppose the definition of myself as the wounded healer is the one that sits with me best, that I don't sit here from a place of perfection or a place of grandiose qualifications. It's about meeting people where they are. It's a horizontal engagement, a horizontal tradition, as we say. But it's about, nature is at the key of everything for me, Paul.
And do you think, John, that once you've worked with people that they're sort of caretakers of themselves, and then that moves on to really being caretakers of the earth, nearly, I mean, the earth's in, it's in a perilous state.
Yeah. Well, you know the old saying, as within, so without. And I think we have to look at how we've been looking at ourselves as human beings, how we're being asked to be men in the world, how we're asked to be women in the world, and how that then has a ripple-on effect into how we're treating our environment. And without question, we're living in a time in which the ways we're being asked to develop as human beings, the codes for being a human, are being exposed as often not really in alignment with our health, our truth. And it's a really big challenge to discover that those messages that are in society, in education programs, in the corporate world, in the media, in advertising, all of those messages that are generational as well, that come up through families, of course, that a lot of those messages are essentially corrupt. And that sounds like a very dramatic way of putting it, but they are corrupt. And we see that in the tremendous range of symptoms and volume of physical, psycho-emotional, psychosexual ill health in our communities. And we see it as well then in the expression of ourselves and humans in a natural environment, in which that natural environment is now suffering as a consequence of our presence. So as within, so without. So the observation of, an environment that is incredibly fragile at the moment, and the care of ourselves as beings who are looking for superior health to live in a better world. To the shaman, you can't have one without the other. That essentially a human being that truly learns to care for himself in ways that are really meaningful, in ways that are sober, in ways that are really listening to himself and not listening to other people's messages about him. When you do that, you'll find that man, you'll find that woman, you'll find that boy, that girl, responding to the outside environment in a completely different way. So it's not a separate thing to care for the environment and to care for yourself. They are inextricably mirrors of each other. And a lot of us waking up to, those messages about industrialization, about living in a corporate world where we use resources of the earth in the way that we are in order to feed very important industries, of course. But when you have such a bias towards profit making, and you have such a blindness towards the importance of the earth's resources and the balance of ecosystems, you have the world in which we're living. And it's a profound time to be alive, because you and I and all that's listening to this conversation are living in a world in which we've reached a point of jeopardy, but that's not asking us to live in fear. It's an invitation to, what do you want to do about it? But we have to begin with ourselves individually, because that's the first ecosystem that we can all control the care of, is how we care for ourselves, and then making one contribution as a human being to recovering the balance in nature. Planting a tree every time you cut one down, or planting two trees for every one you cut down, and just holding that even as a metaphor in your life, so that you're caring for yourself, you're caring for the natural world, just by being human, and that not being anything fantastic, that just being living well. It's you can have very dark times, when we look at our own problems, when we look at the earth's problems, it can be very oppressive, the volume of, for example, the infection and death we're seeing as a consequence of pandemic, as a consequence we're seeing of mental health. In Ireland, you and I know how, the surveys always show how men's health is in the extraordinary, sometimes doldrums, it seems to be in Ireland, and looking at the widespread destruction of the environment. And you can have very dark days if you listen to the news all the time. But that's only got to be, one side of the picture. You've got to look at the glass never being half empty. You've got to realize that, you know, you've always got an invitation to take part in the care of yourself, in the care of the world. Some days we have the energy to take part, and some days we don't. And to not judge yourself. Energy moves in waves. We go up and down. The level of care we can muster for ourselves is often not the same every single day. But it's about discovering, you know, when you feel and sense into yourself each morning, what do I feel like I can do? How can I participate? And letting go, yeah, being perfect, letting go, comparing yourself to anybody else. But just participating in it all, the care of yourself, the care of the world, and there can be a tremendous reward for doing that, just in how you feel in yourself. And that's pretty important these days.
Yeah, and I think you've touched on it a few times there, balance. It's about getting balance. If you can get balance in everything, I think we will certainly be making progress. And John, I could literally sit here and talk to you for hours and hours. And I could, but very swiftly moving on to I guess the pandemic, and I guess some advice, and you've already given us some advice to men as we hopefully are on the turn coming out of this pandemic, and hopefully vaccines will be issued and we can move on from this. Have you any guidance or advice or what you can give to men?
Well, thank you, Paul. Well, like every health professional, I would have people turning up with individual symptoms in their lives, and you can see how related they are to living in the shared communal pandemic experience that we all are affected by. The first thing I would say, Paul, is I've repeated it several times, as you say, just the critical importance of nature right now. And in referring to nature, you know, whether a man takes a walk on the beach, whether a woman goes for a jog in the woods, whatever nature, how it calls to you, it's just so important to find experiences of being alive in which there is no pandemic. And once you're in nature, there's no news scroll, there's no Twitter feed letting you know about the numbers of infections, the deaths. And it's about finding sanctuary somewhere in your life where the pandemic simply isn't a reality. And just to give ourselves that break from the relentless feed of news that's so challenging to withstand. The second thing I would say is, you know, there was a wonderful saying from a financial advisor, wasn't there, to Barack Obama when Lehman Brothers, the bank in America, suddenly crashed and they realized there was going to be a meltdown economically and that would spread around the world. And the financial advisor said to Barack Obama, you don't want to waste a good crisis. And in that in every crisis there's opportunity. And it's very interesting for me, you know, living here in the center of the city in Dublin, just the amount of creativity, but the amount of adaptability I'm seeing in people and how people are embracing the crisis of the pandemic, but also on a good day, seizing some kind of opportunity to do something different or to remember something they used to do that had gotten lost in the business of their lives. But the extra personal or professional time they have because of the pandemic, using it to perhaps recover a pastime or to listen to some kind of personal passion that wasn't getting expressed during, let's call them, normal times. So that, you know, we look at survival of species over generations, and all species do best by adaptability, becoming a hybrid. And I think the whole pandemic is asking us to let go ways that have become established and normalized, and letting those go can be difficult because they're keeping ourselves familiar with ourselves. But that's the invitation, is how can we adapt? How can we find new ways? How can we be in the world, be ourselves, and dance around something we never asked for? Because we never asked for the pandemic, of course. And when you're asked to adapt for circumstances that you never originally asked for, it's a big task. But that's in front of us. And for me, it's about not wasting a good crisis. Keeping safe, taking part in the communal effort in terms of living as best we can, respecting those who put themselves, you know, at risk, either being because of underlying conditions or because of their age or because they're frontline workers, and really respecting those brothers and sisters that we have in the community. But at the same time, on a personal level, where's the opportunity in the crisis here? And just being open to that, because I think there's ways I'm seeing people living currently that I don't think they're going to change back when the pandemic is over, when it's all history, that they're going to actually have a future that's going to be very informed by how they learn to live in the midst of a pandemic. And that's me seeing them not wasting a good crisis, clutching at the opportunities that come when we're asked to live very differently. And look, not be perfect. This is not about being shy of the despair, the anger, the loneliness, the frustration, the anxieties that everybody has to be experiencing right now. And not being shy of those, not bearing them, not trying to say that's for other people and masking them in ourselves. We've got to allow ourselves to be human, and you've got to allow yourself to respect, you know, experiences that we often judge as negative. You're better off not judging them and allowing yourself to voice your despair, your anger, your loneliness, because now is a critical time to be human and not to be perfect. And in our humanity, we often do best in terms of being creative, finding solutions, when we also honour things that we might judge as negative, such as the loneliness or the despair or the fear, and the loss, you know, the loss of job, the loss of income, the loss of friends, the loss of freedom. We've got to accept that, you know, we are human, and it's not about saying those losses are for other people or that I must pretend they're not happening. No, you've got to really accept, yeah, it is painful, and to feel those difficult emotions, because unless we do, we won't actually feel all of the other emotions that can come with recovery, with living differently, with doing something new or doing something exciting, which is still available to us even in time of pandemic. So I would say nature, Paul, is so important. Finding the places, finding the people where you're living in a temporary sanctuary from the permanent news scroll, and seeing that the crisis also presents opportunity, but at the same time, lastly, look, be human, be fully human, weep the tears and laugh the laughs that are still available.
Sheeran Cree, the way of the heart, John, every time I talk to you, you absolutely speak from the heart, and I love our conversations, but this conversation is coming to a close, and I guess my final question, and it may well be, John, you're already in your dream job, but if you had a dream job, or maybe you're in it, what I'm trying to get at, what is your dream job? Is it just a wee lighthearted sort of we finished to a very educational little podcast?
You know, Paul, I don't think I could talk to you today. I don't think I would have made it to 56 years if I wasn't sincerely living some kind of a dream, and I mean that very realistically, that the way of the heart can sound like a very wishy-washy, new age kind of thing, but if I wasn't still running away with the circus, if I wasn't still making it up as I go along, if I wasn't still totally dedicated to the world of love and kindness, compassion, forgiveness, retrieval, passion, excitement, laughter, if I wasn't dedicated to that world, I don't think I would be alive. So I think, you know, sincerely, yes, I am. I am living a dream life, and I don't see it as a job. I see it as a life. But I have to say, now that you're offering me the dreams within the dream, Paul, I'm going to give you my list, and one of them would be playing centre-half at the moment for Liverpool. I really do think I could do a good job for Jurgen Klopp. I think, you know, he's lost a couple of tall centre-halves, and, you know, while they weren't the club of my boyhood, just the way they play, and to be among a tribe that go out once, twice a week, and play together in a wonderful style. And I also think I could play bass For the Ramones, I think if you want to put me in that as well, I'll turn up for that dream. So I have plenty of them. But do you know, Paul, just look, part of my day and having 20 minutes with you and the men who are listening and just talking about life, talking about a life of service that I'm fortunate to be able to provide. Do you know, look, there's been 20 minutes of important dream time here, and it's been a privilege.
John, let me just finish with you are an exceptional guy, and that is from the heart. I met you, I don't know, 5 or 7 years ago at a men's health meeting in Dundalk. We were in a circle of maybe 20 or maybe 30 other guys. And for me, you stood out. And when you spoke, no disrespect to anybody else, sir, I listened, because it was a voice that I hadn't heard before, and it was from the heart. So, thank you. It's been an absolute privilege to have you here, and. I think this is our third podcast, and I would love to have you back again at some point, but let us get through this pandemic, let us get out the other side, and if you're up for it, maybe in a year or two's time, I'll give you a shout again.
I'd be honoured, Paul. Brilliant. I'd be honoured.
Now, just finally, if you, how can guys get in touch if they want to touch base with you? Have you got a website, or how would you like people to?
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. The website you can get to through the English translation and also the Irish will get you to the same website, Pathway of the Heart, all one word. pathwayoftheheart.ie, which of course is the translation for shliancry.ie, SLIRNCHRY. But pathwayoftheheart.ie is that oldest way of putting it in Ireland, the way of walking as the healing shaman and bringing those healing resources to the world, self-care and world care. So, that's where you know, a lot of people find me on the interweb, and there's of course email contacts there and phone numbers and stuff like that, and there's other social media that I'm part of that we have the Shlian Cree Facebook page, and there's Instagram. I'm on this, but I'm not trusted with knowing how to use it, Paul, because we've got a wonderful assistant, Carolina, who is the brains behind all of that, and she just asks me to go in front of the camera or to get in front of the microphone, and she winds me up, and off we go. But shliancree.ie, pathwayoftheheart.ie, and so at this time of solstice, Paul, and Advent into Christmas, and then into the new year, a very potent time of the year to be talking with you and sitting with all of the listeners of the podcast. And 2020 we're not going to forget, but lovely to sit with you as we're also preparing for 2021, and you know, we can be part of how 2021 is made. It's not just going to be a year that's going to come and visit us and bring us opportunities and experiences, but we can all turn up and take part in the making of 2021, and that's a real invitation, I think, from all we've been through in 2020. So let's do it.
Hear, hear. John, thanks very much.